It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, and it is a bonus week of football talk in Mayo, although I'm not sure there's ever a week when there isn't football talk in Mayo. That said, Kevin McStay, welcome back to the podcast, and the league final, it just adds a little bit of edge to that chatter, doesn't it?
It sure does. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to have you on. Edwin McGrail, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Rob. Great to be here.
I'm breaking the first rule of podcasting where I'm kind of telling people what time of day we're recording this, because God knows what time of day people listen to these podcasts, Edwin.
Yeah, certainly. I wouldn't say too many people will be listening at 8 o'clock in the morning, but you know, I suppose whatever floats your boat.
I was just saying, we had to get our morning voices out of us. I don't know how the off the ball lads do it or any of the others for that matter, but listen, that's for another time. Kevin, are you enjoying the football so far this season?
Well, I always enjoy the league anyway. The league, because it's a great competition. I know that's a little bit of a cliche now, but it's a true cliche. It is. Last Sunday was terrific. I was working the whole day and going square-eyed from watching matches coming in from all over the country. But it was hilarious. We were trying to do, there was a few of us in the office. I was on with Kieran Whelan and Joanne. We were trying to keep a track of, well, who's up and who's down now? Sure, we give up then, because after every 5 minutes, the thing had changed. And Standard has been good. The only downside of this year's league has been the atrocious weather, which was an awful pity, because there was a lot of good football to be played, the dreadful weather just it didn't allow you take any eternal truths home from those games, if you like. There wasn't a lot to be taken from the spectacles. Well, there weren't spectacles. And I think so that was a little bit disappointing. Just the weather was poor, and that happens because we play in January and February.
Yeah, I know you were down Tralee, and I'll ask you a little bit about that. But just to start off the top, because Mayo fans are probably, especially the ones who are in Carrick, are still kind of thinking about that shootout with Kildare. And it was interesting to see Billy Joe Padden's column today specifically saying that Kildare seemed to think they could go toe-to-toe with Mayo. And he basically saying they're just not at that level to be able to do that. Was that your take? Were you surprised Kildare tried to do that? And on top of that, Mayo will take something out of being let play like that as well. They'll get a little bit of energy out of it. That's what Billy Joe wrote.
Well, it certainly wasn't clever to think that you were going to match Mayo, I think, athletically and play a loose game. That's what it was. I saw the whole game coming in from Carrick, and it was just end-to-end stuff. The defensive work was poor on both sides, by the way. Because there was really no defensive work. And it's a little bit of a false read, because you know when it gets to the serious stuff, the Tyrones of this world will have defensive cover. They won't allow Mayo to play in that way. And that has been one of the systems that we've struggled a little with, more than a little, in fact. So it was kind of, I saw last week's game, or Sunday's game, as kind of a free shot, really. One of those games at the end of the league where, well, if we win it, we might fall into the final. If we lose it, let's start thinking about Galway. I didn't think there was a whole lot at stake, and the summer crowd and the lack of real physical contact and the defensive setup probably added to that. So you're not going to be, Mayo are just too athletic to give them the run of the field, because they come in droves. And that was very evident in the match that I was watching as it was coming in. The Mayo are just driving from everywhere. And if you look at, I just jotted down the amount of scores that I made, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, maybe 8 or 9 scores on the day. You'll have all that, Ed. But it's not a clever ploy to play against Mayo. And I'm not sure why Kildare would have gone that way. But Kildare are, to a large extent, quite similar to ourselves, even though they're not at our level yet. They play the same type of football. They're a very open, sort of a stylish sort of a team that play a lot of link football. They're quite big athletes as well. So maybe that's the way they wanted to play it.
And you know, like, this is simplifying things, but like, you could nearly just two categories. There's moments in games, even against the big teams, where it opens up and then Mayo explode. And we know that. We saw that against Dublin in the last few seconds of semi-final last year, for example. But there are the games against the top teams, the contenders, rarely stay open for very long. And the big, big question for Mayo at the moment, Kevin, and Edwin will chime in afterwards, is how do Mayo figure out those defensive systems? They do seem to be struggling to penetrate this season and really show any sort of ability to figure out a bit of a wall in front of them.
I agree with you. It's a fair proposition. I think if you look strategically at the league, I think Mayo have taken a lot from it. You could say Mayo, a friend of mine argued that Mayo are the number one county benefactors from the league, in that they've got to the final almost despite their efforts towards the end game, like losing two in a row and then picking up this one and still getting to the final. They have, if you go through the team, they have resolved the goalkeeping issue. There is the number one goalkeeper. He's playing very well. He's picked up a bit of an injury, as I understand it. But that's locked down. The defence, we know our defence pretty much. It's a very good defence. It can match most teams. The midfield is absolutely nailed down and playing very well. One of the big pluses. I suppose a key objective of the league for Mayo was to recover from the All-Ireland. I would say that out, you know, it was such a disappointing non-performance, the final, and there was a fair bit of blowback, I believe, locally and in the media, you know, that people got incredibly frustrated and vented that. But the team now has recovered, and you saw with the crowd and the following, and the team is in good morale and in good shape. But this is the bit now that comes back to your question. Up front, we haven't resolved. But then I said it was a bit of a joke. We haven't resolved that for about 50 years, so it's a long piece of work. The forward work isn't as polished as the other top teams. It just isn't. And you've heard me go on and on about the way we're butchering goal chances. That was evident once again on Sunday. Evident because it's a very, very difficult piece of the game to correct. It's the most difficult part of the game. You know, the scoring. That's the hard part of any Gaelic footballer's life. A lot of the other stuff is you get the ball to where you want to get it, as thin as trying to apply the finish. And we're not good at it. And even the two goals we got, the Jordan Flynn goal and the Ryan O'Donoghue goal, they were half butchered as well because, you know, the dribble into the net in the end. The Jordan Flynn goal, the pass that came across him wasn't meant for him at all. It was meant for another runner that was completely missed on the hand pass. We're not good on 3-and-1s. We're not good on 3-and-2s. And we're not, our composure around it. That's the big one for me that I took from the attacking part of it. And I kind of slightly disagree with you in that I think we're penetrating better than we did, Rob. I think the Jordan Flynn, Matty Ruan athleticism in the middle of the field is getting us quite close to goal now and breaking through defences. And Oisin Mullen, I saw a lot of that on Sunday as well. He was coming from deep. We are getting runners in there and overlaps, obviously, but it's in the fine print of the finish that we're not improving, and we need to improve. I mean, every game I look at Mayo now, I can see four goals being left behind, three, four goals being left behind, and not half chances now by any means. These are fully loaded chances that you're expected to get. So I think that's a massive area for Mayo to work on. And if they were to polish that up, I think I said that Sunday night, if Mayo were to polish that up, like the game Sunday could have been 6-7, 8-20. There was a lot of missed chances.
Yeah, and Kevin has made the point before about Mayo, when it comes to possession, they take it for granted because traditionally Mayo have been so strong around the middle. And so they just assume they'll keep getting chances. But like, we go back to the All-Ireland final last year, four goal chances, scored none of them. And if you look at the performances that have been best for Mayo in the league, they've been against Kildare and Dublin. And that's been the two games where the opposition has been most open. Dublin have certainly got their house in order subsequently, but that night in Croke Park and Sunday in Carrick and Shannon, both teams were set up ideally for Mayo, And if you look at the games where Mayo have struggled, it tends to be the games where the opposition have set up in a way that doesn't suit Mayo. And, you know, teams are not going to just roll over and play the way Mayo want them to play. Teams are going to set up to frustrate Mayo. And maybe there was an arrogance with Kildare the last day. I sometimes think that some teams don't rate Mayo and think that they can take them on a particular way. Maybe that was the case on Sunday. But certainly, if you go back to the Tyrone game, the Kerry game, where Mayo found it very hard late in those games to break down a crowded defence, a mass defence. And also, if you look at a key thing against playing against teams like that, against Tyrone, against Armagh, against Donegal, Mayo gave those teams a lead, a run. You know, they were chasing the game. And against Armagh, they chased it successfully. Against Donegal, they managed to eke out a draw. Against Tyrone, they couldn't. They just couldn't get it back on level terms. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't suit Mayo. And you have to be able to dance whatever way the opposition want to play. And, you know, when it's high energy, runners coming through and there's a lot of space and there's overlaps, Mayo are very good at that. But when they have to be patient and they have to probe and they have to, you know, play it around and take the right decision. And that's what's so important when a team is set up defensively, is taking the shot when it's on. And it mightn't be a high percentage shot. It might be a 50-50 shot. But knowing that you've the right guy at the end of the ball, that he can take this shot on, and it might be the best opportunity, the best opening you'll get in that particular phase of attack. And that's very much a work in progress for Mayo. You know, over the last number of years, they've made small incremental gains in that regard, but I don't think they're far enough down the line. Sunday is going to be a good test in that regard.
In Tralee, Kevin, you were there, I was there. Mayo had all the momentum. Like, what changed in those closing stages? What, like, Kerry were missing chances. Obviously, Clifford missed that simple free. They had lost their zip up front. But why did Mayo kick on and win that, or at least get something out of it?
Remember the last 10 minutes of that game, Rob, the Kerry defence was frenzied. They were chasing down everything. There was one passage in my mind I can recall where we played the ball laterally maybe 7 or 8 times. And as Kerry men, it was you know, in rugby, they call it line speed, I think. There was Kerry men coming out of the D at an outrageous speed to get to make contact with the receiver. They were all over them. And we don't have that composure when there's a lot of heat on us. The point well made by Ed just there. We don't tend, well, number one, our handling skill can let us down a little bit when that real heat comes on. But number two, and primarily, our decision-making lets us down. We make a bad call. We either go narrow, or might go out towards the sideline, and we get clipped out there, or we don't get the ball into the hands of the guy we need to be taking the shot. And we end up then with, you call them 50-50s. Well, they're 50-50 positions, but if they've been taken by the wrong man, they're well less than 50-50. The percentage drops then. Sorry, Ed, it was you that was making that point. And the other point I would make, and it's to add on to yours, Ed, is that in the modern game, when you're chasing the game, you're in a most difficult position because the opposition can obviously defend in numbers. And now when they get the turnover, they can transition in numbers because the numbers are behind the ball. So when you're chasing the game, if you go +5, +6 down in a major football match now, you are in a lot of trouble because the opposition will clamp down pretty immediately because they understand that to make up that sort of a deficit, that could take you half an hour's football if you don't score a goal. I don't know if that answers your question about the Kerry one. The Kerry game to me was lack of composure. We couldn't get because we kept making too many major errors, and the chances we did get for the goal chances we made a hames of, and that would have closed the gap, obviously. In fact, would have put us into a winning position. Sorry, Ed, go on.
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Yeah, no, I was going to agree with that, and I like there was a huge reliance that evening on Ryan O'Donoghue,
yes.
And that was the point was made that if Mayo had you know, a stronger full forward line, it would have been harder for Kerry to defend that, and that's true up to a point. But I think a big part of the problem too is when Mayo don't have many great outside shooters either. So Kevin, you're making the point some of the wrong guys are getting into the shooting positions, and that's true. But Mayo are a little bit easier to close down in that regard because, you know, there's only maybe four or five guys that the opposition have to be worried about. And I have to say I was very, and it'll be interesting to see how on a dry day in Croke Park, what Kerry are like defensively when if the game plays out to a similar scenario. But I was very impressed by Kerry defensively in that regard.
They've improved dramatically defensively.
Oh, yeah, and they made it really, really hard for Mayo in those last 10 minutes. And I would say, I said it at the time, that two of the frees that Mayo got in those closing stages were soft frees. Mm. There was the one where Oisin Mullen ran into traffic and was
never
surrounded.
Got that free, yeah.
No, and then they had a free brought in for Rob Henley, mishit a free, and it was brought in.
It wasn't
clear, but it was certainly very lucky. It wasn't Mayo that created that situation anyway. It was a Kerry error or a refereeing error. So my point is Mayo were really struggling to even get a chance to score. Against Tyrone, they had better chances. Tyrone set up defensively, but I don't think they were as good as Kerry in that regard. But again, it was a tight pitch. It was maybe, you know, on a bad evening, it was a defender's night. The next day in Croke Park, it'll be a good test for Mayo, and it'll be interesting to see. It's a huge test for Kerry in that regard as well, on a dry day and a bigger pitch. I have to say, of all the things I observed from Kerry that night, that looked like the biggest contrast from the Kerry of old is just how well they defended, how frenzied they were in their defence, without fouling. You know, they were disciplined, but they were everywhere.
Colin Boyle mentioned in the podcast just at the weekend that, you know, the likes of Darragh Moynihan and Adrian Splann are funneling back now and adding that extra element. That really impressed me about Kerry. I thought it was interesting that Boyle has picked that up, and it's something that gave me confidence that Kerry weren't going to beat us in previous seasons because they didn't work like that. They're doing that now.
Yeah, and you're hardly surprised. They have an elite defensive coach in their ranks now, and they will have strategically dissected all aspects of defence. And the first one, and one you hear me making reference to for all these top teams, I'm sure we're very much the same, is when you lose the ball and the tactical foul immediately. Kerry are as cynical now as anybody else in that. So when they turn it over, Clifford loses it in the attacking D, the next thing you will see is two fellas arriving to do a hold-up foul, almost a choke tackle, call it whatever you want, to let everybody get behind and reset. They're playing with a plus one most of the time. They are physical. Kerry have always been a physical team, so they're well able for contact. I think it's a brilliant game for Mayo. I think it's a game Mayo are going to, you know, really have to be up for, because all things kind of point to Kerry's advantage in that they have the gap to the championship. The Jack O'Connor era, he's mad for silverware. And they won't come into this with any sort of doubts or what they want from it. Whereas, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, the Mayo mindset is a difficult one to predict at the moment. It's very like I'm in Roscommon at the minute, and their mindset is incredibly difficult to predict for Sunday, especially after playing Galway. So you have that psychology going on as well. You'll know better than I will what Mayo are making of it, but. I'd have thought Mayo have got everything out of the league they want at this stage, and the final is it an inconvenience? You can never say that about a national final. I mean, they're gorgeous medals. You'd love to have one, but the Galway match is such a defining game of the championship season, and it's only just around the corner. And I know I keep making that point, but these are the realities, lads. That you know, the league very quickly becomes surplus. And how Mayo are going to set themselves up for next Sunday? Will it be more experimentation? I don't know. Or will they try and get a championship 15 out on the field. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, you know, Edwin, you were writing in the paper this week about what you feel like Mayo are honing in on a settled 15. But does that balance, because it's, you know, they don't want to be risking Paddy Durkin, Dermot O'Connor to try and win a league title. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think anyone that there's a smidgen of doubt over, they don't play. And I think that just tells you, that puts into context the relevance of this league title, you know. And we said this in 2019 and it turned out to be very different on the day. But, you know, that was a first national title in 18 years. You know, it's very recent history now. So I think the relevance of winning on Sunday in terms of winning a national title isn't significant. But I do think it's, you know, we talked last year about the run-ins to games, and I think it was Chris Barrett was saying that 3 weeks is the ideal in terms of going from one game to the next in Championship. And that's what it is from Kerry to Galway. So it depends entirely on Mayo's approach. Does James Horan see this as a perfect run out and an opportunity to go at it as best as they can? You know, or does he see it as an opportunity to just, you know, have a final look at a few guys who may be in the mix, may not be in the mix? So the team selection will tell us a lot, and it'll be interesting in that regard. But also, you know, I think it's certainly a game that Kerry will want to win more. I think that's been their approach entirely in the league. You know, they've been trying to create momentum, trying to just get into a winning habit. And, you know, we heard Tony Lean talking about the amount of tight games that Kerry have lost down through the years. And we saw the reaction after they beat Mayo in Tralee. It meant a lot to them. I think it would be a huge setback for them if they weren't to win on Sunday, particularly after losing to Tyrone. And I know the Tyrone game wasn't overly important. They were qualified and Tyrone had more to play for and so on and so forth. But I think a loss for Kerry the next day would be a setback. Not so much for Mayo, unless, of course, and this is the dilemma, it was a bit of a tanking because Mayo's attitude isn't just where it needs to be, because they're looking ahead to Galway. So there's a number of different ways of looking at it. But I think, like, if Mayo perform well and are close and lose by a point or two, it's not fatal at all. It's a very good run out. It has served its purpose. If nobody gets injured, they'll be happy. They'll be relatively happy with that. If Kerry lost by a point or two, I think they'd be very disappointed by it. So I think that's the difference.
To give you a flip on it, lads, I was following closely Pádraig Joyce's reaction to the defeat here on Sunday. And he sees the final now next week as perfect preparation for his Championship, where he wants to get his best team out. He is mad for Road. Will not take two defeats in a row. He said, we can't contemplate losing, you know, twice to Roscommon in the build-up to a Mayo match. 3 weeks is grand. Get his Championship team out. And he said, we are going to go into Croke Park with the whole idea of putting on a serious display of football, which is obviously, they have been one of the form teams of the league. They're well capable of, if they have their full 15, Walsh and Comer, etc., out on the field. So, you know, I think that spells bad news for Roscommon, because I think Galway are going to absolutely, if it's a fine day in Croke Park, they are going to love it and really get stuck into it. So that's the flip side from the Mayo. That's what Mayo's next opposition or Championship opposition, that's their mindset. This is the dress rehearsal. They want to get everybody out, get everybody ready, and get everybody into top form. The Mayo mindset, like, I mean, how disappointed will anybody be if Mayo don't win the National League?
But Kevin, yeah, at the same time, like, it'd be some statement and it'd be some boost to the confidence of the younger players, you know, the Brickendens of this world, if they just walk down the steps of Croke Park and the likes of Matty Rand, that's another victory for him, another title, those kind of things.
Agreed, Rob. But the effort that it's going to take to beat a motivated Kerry team up in Croke Park next Sunday, will be more than a league effort. You will have to be well revved up for this. Mayo's injury list is beginning to extend now into where there's just too many top players seem to be just not available for selection. You know, like you look at the full forward line, we could have the two O'Connors and Conroy. And you take that out of any team. And, you know, Ed, did Rob quote you as saying that you think the forward line is nearly set? I cannot see the Is that wrong? Did I pick that up wrong? Or I can't.
No, go on. Sorry,
I cannot see the Mayo forward line has been set. I don't like outside of Ryan O'Donoghue, who's near. I won't say been a one man show in the league, but he hasn't been far off it. He's been absolutely outstanding. You know, where's Aidan O'Shea going to play? Is he going to play up front or in the backs or somewhere around hardly midfield at this stage? Jermuth could be out injured. Killian, we haven't seen, so we won't, you know, you couldn't see him starting against Mayo or against Galway, excuse me. Like the Jack Carney, Fergal Boland, Aidan Orms, et cetera, they all seem to me to be kind of they're seamless replacements for each other. Does that make sense? I don't see them as standouts. I see them as really good supporting actors and all that. But the three or four key forwards that you need, you know, like one of our blessings next Sunday is that Sean O'Shea probably isn't going to be available for Kerry. But if you had Sean O'Shea, the two Cliffords, Paul Gainey, Darren Moynan, these fellas, geez, look at that now for a forward line straight away.
Yeah, I suppose the point I was making in the paper today was, It's not that Mayo have a settled team, the opposite, but that Sunday is an opportunity to get a lot closer to knowing what your settled team will be. Because from what I make it, if you look at Mayo's defenders, I think there's only three nailed-on starters. That's Lee Keegan, Paddy Durkin and Oisin Mullen. And then there's a phenomenal level of competition. I would say Páirc Ó'Hara probably will start. But at the same time, you know, if you look at the options that are there, David McBreen, Enda Hessian in the full back line, Stephen Cohen, Owen McLaughlin, Rory Brickenden. I'm probably leaving someone out there. You know, there's a huge level of competition there. Midfield looks settled.
Did you mention Michael Plunkett? I don't know if you did or not. Did
Michael Plunkett, there you go. Exactly. You know, the midfield looks settled. Jordan Flynn, partner in Matty Ruan. Half forward line, if he's fit, Dermot O'Connor is probably the only guaranteed starter. I think Jack Carney is playing, has a jersey at the minute. You know, and if he plays well in the league final, I think he'll start wing forward against Galway. And then it's probably Aidan O'Shea or Kevin McLaughlin, either or in the half forward line. And then inside, Ryan O'Donoghue is obviously nailed on. Jason Doherty is coming into a bit of form. The last day, I think, would have done him a power of good. Do you look at James Carr? You know, I think he offers something a little bit different. Aidan Orm has been good without being great. So you could make an argument that was only half of Mayo's starting team nailed down. You know, so
where did Aidan O'Shea play on Sunday exactly?
It was
he effectively played from 11 coming out.
Yeah.
Coming out from?
From 11.
Towards the midfield.
Yeah, okay. And he wasn't in the sixth role anymore, that's for sure. Oisin Mullen slotted into that, and that's what we expected, because Ben McCormick was going to be hard to deal with. Yeah,
and that's another test for the next evening. Like, obviously, David Clifford scored, was it 5 or 6 from play in Tralee, and Oisin Mullen had his hands full with him. And I think anyone will have their hands full with Clifford. But do Mayo, you know, do they stick or twist there? That's a big dilemma.
Big thanks to Nigel Reap Office Supplies, Brent and Sign, for supporting what we're doing here in the podcast. A friend of the podcast, as you know, comes on to talk football with us. But if you need any printing done, posters, signs, lotto booklets for your club, you name it, then give a shout to Nigel in Knockmore at 086 858 6572. Kevin, do we underestimate, though, the James Horne system sometimes when we talk about the individual? Now, I know Killian O'Connor or Tommy Conroy are enormous losses to the team and could define an All-Ireland victory or failure. But if you know where I'm coming from, I think at times we get caught up in this is the guy. And while Páirc Joyce might have a settled team because that's his style, I don't know if it's more a system thing, and is that why these players are slotting in and out? Do we get a bit hung up on it sometimes?
I think systems and processes and all this is all fine from one to nine. I would say this as a next forward perhaps, but when it comes to the thing that wins the games, which are the scores on the boards, systems and rotations and fellas, you know, putting in good shifts, that's all fine and dandy. But you need 3 or 4 fellas who can get the scores. And every winning championship team at All-Ireland level has them. And I would argue at the minute, we don't have enough of them. We've Ryan O'Donoghue every week, week in, week out. Before I'm driving down to the match, I'd say, well, Ryan O'Donoghue, you can put him down for about 1-5, lads. All right? That now, who else can I say that about? I can't. You know, even a top player like Dermot O'Connor, he's an 0-2 man. You know, he might row in with a goal every now and then. He's a worker bee. Killian, yes, you can put him down for 1-5 every day he goes out, but we don't have him. Tommy Conroy, you know, would get scores. We don't have that type of player now. We can get the ball. This is the point I was kind of, like last Sunday was perfect example of it. And Tyrone to a lesser extent. We're getting the ball into the positions with our team running game, the James Horn game, the Horn ball, I've heard some of you call it. So, and we get the ball to a certain part of the field. But that little bit of polish, the little bit of inventiveness, the way you make space, you know, when people say, how does Clifford have so much space? Because he's extremely skilled. That's why he gets so much space. He has two hands. He has crossovers. He has two feet. He has jinx. He can evade people with his jinx and his balance. That's how they get the big scores, because they can make the space in where all the numbers are congregating, where the space is at a premium. And so that's the next level player. That's why he's as good as he is, and other players of his ilk. At the moment, the only player who's consistently able to do that for us is Ryan.
And I think how well he has played this league, given who Mayo have been missing, and given that it's very obvious that he is the go-to man for Mayo. And you look at the size of him and you think, when a crowded defence are set up, that it's going to be very hard for him to win ball. You see some of the ball he won
it's
down
the league. It's unbelievable the ball he's winning.
Oh, it's
he's incredibly brave. He's going after everything.
And he's so incredibly strong, like deceptively so. And it's incredible the level of progression that we're seeing from him game on game. He is improving all the time, and he's at a serious level. But you know, if the graph keeps on going, you know, and again, Killian O'Connor's lost last year.
Flip the coin and double or treble team Ryan O'Donoghue in a big match.
Well, this is the point I was going to make, and
Jason Doherty did kick 5 points the last day, Edwin. So keep that in mind. And James Carr, you know, as you said yourself in the paper today, what has he scored? 5-18 in 22 Mayo matches. That's that came into the paper today. You know, it's still in him too. Go ahead though.
Yeah, I was going to make the point that, you know, if you're one dimensional, and it's very obvious, as it was in a couple of the games, that Ryan O'Donoghue, that if you keep tabs on Ryan O'Donoghue, you're going to stop Mayo. The last day in Carrick, Jason Doherty was a threat. James Carr can be very frustrating in terms of he will waste chances, but he is such a handful. He takes watching. You cannot take your eyes off him. And when Mayo are missing some top level forwards, that kind of element from Carr is something that becomes very useful, because suddenly the focus isn't entirely on O'Donoghue. And there's no doubt that O'Donoghue is still the main man, but you're looking to free him up as much as possible. And I think that's what happened the last day. Doherty was doing enough to be, you know, to take a lot of tracking and take a lot of watching. And the same with James Carr. Now, it was a leaky Kildare defence. It will be a different scenario the next day against Kerry, and it'll be interesting to see how Mayo get on in that regard. But I think when you're someone as good as Ryan O'Donoghue, we currently don't have guys as good as him around him. But if you have enough guys in there that aren't just going to be shut out of the game, well, you know, that gets you so far. But like, there's no point crying over it at this stage, but I just can't help but think of a full forward line of this year of Tommy Conroy, Killian O'Connor and Ryan O'Donoghue, and the difference that would make for Mayo. But Killian, we don't know what his status is, if he's going to be togged the next day, if he's going to be togged for the Galway game. But Tommy Conroy,
did you get any news on that?
Just again, because of the media blackout, we're not hearing. But he appeared to walk off with concerns over the hamstring. But again, perhaps that was precautionary, perhaps not. We'll know at a throw-in time on Sunday exactly what the scenario is there. You know, but certainly Mayo are at the stage where they can't afford any more losses in the forward line. I think they can, we spoke about the amount of guys in contention for defence. They wouldn't want to be losing any of their main three defenders, but at the same time, I think they could cope with defensive losses far more at this stage than they could with losses in the attack. Yeah, because
the replacement of a defender, again, from a management perspective, Ed, is so much easier than the replacement of a forward. Because they're just... It is. I don't mean that's not to denigrate a defensive player or anything. It just is. There's more. We have way more options defensively. I feel like we have a lot of very good defenders that could slip in and do an excellent job for us and play in the system that we play. No major issue. They know how that is done, and therefore can make a big contribution. But to come into our forward line, you know. At the drop of a hat wouldn't be as simple. To replace Jermaine O'Connor would not be straightforward. And what he brings to us as a team would not be an easy fix. It just wouldn't. And you made a good line there, Rob, a while ago. That full forward line that we all dream about, that could be what defines another All Ireland year for us. That, you know, the what ifs, oh, if only we had. And sometimes when you don't have them, you just can't get the job done. That's the downside, because these are such fine, fine players. Like Tommy Conroy was the real deal, is the real deal. Killian O'Connor is absolutely the real deal. Like, they are top, top players, and we don't have them available to us. And now if Jermaine was to fall off the championship selection, well, you know, that's a massive ask now. You know, you're asking off a Mayo forward line that is outside of Ryan is rookie-ish enough. That's kind of the word I'd use about it. You know, to get totals to win these championship year, that's a big, big ask.
I can't help wonder though, Kevin, that I still think to myself sometimes, and this is going a little bit counter to your point, which I feel like I'm being brave here, which is if we did keep a consistent pace to the way we play. Billy Joe Patton says it's nearly 2 years since Mayo have put 70 full minutes into a football match, 70 in terms of performance, you know, and he says, of course, you're not going to always get it, but it's been a while. And I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself that if they could get the balance right with the runners, maybe some of these supporting cast forwards could be dangerous enough. It's just the type of ball that's going in. It's the decision-making. It's the quickness of taking their shots when they're there. And then it's like in Croke Park last year, I haven't heard it said since, but I remember someone pointing out that on two of Mayo's goal chances, Aidan O'Shea was standing on the other side. It might have been yourself, Kevin, but someone was standing on the other side of the goal, ready to tap it in if the pass had come. You know, I just wonder at times if Mayo are taking shots on that are the wrong decision as well, and if they're not utilising those runners off the shoulders. I just wonder if they can play around the lack of forwards.
Well, on the goal chances that you were talking about, I'm not sure that those people to the left, because I know that's one of the very first things I know when I look at the replays, that I'm always checking that. It doesn't stick in my mind, or maybe I'm trying to obliterate all those memories from
that. I know I am.
I can't replay those goal chances anymore. I hear the point you're making, but it's, well, I suppose come back this day week now after this test in Croke Park with, you know, we're going, these forwards that we're talking about, they're going to be playing on Sunday because of the numbers game. And we'll know an awful lot more about them. The Mayo running game is our trump card. That is what we do. That is how we play the game. And it does lead to a lot of chaotic attacking. You often... Go on, Ed. Cut across me there.
No, sorry. I was just saying I come in after that because I think you're right, Kevin. But I think it's interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how Mayo try with a kicking approach the next day, because it's something they've tried to do a little bit more this league. And it has worked. It has worked at times. It worked well against Dublin. It hasn't worked so well when teams are defensively well set. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I'm just curious what you think. Is that something that can make a big difference for Mayo if they're, you know, if they're able to get ball in early and if they are able to get the right kick passers on the ball? Does that limit the ability of a team like Kerry to get bodies back if Mayo are kicking the ball rather than running?
Of course it does. But now the next question is this. Have we the quality of middle third player that can give those foot passes? And will the opposition allow those middle third players time on the ball to get the foot pass in? And then the third aspect, of course, is can the receiver win his own ball if it's to any sort of advantage at all?
This podcast is proudly supported by the Oxford Arms in London. The next time you're in Camden Town, why not call to our corner of Mayo in London? The Oxford Arms. You can't miss it. It's the one with the big Mayo crest outside.
Kevin, just to jump in there, Mayo's best kick passer into the full forward line all season this year has been Ryan O'Donoghue when he came out around the edge of the 45, wins the ball and sends it in. And he can't kick it into himself. So I don't know what we're going to do. We were laughing in the stand the last day. He did two brilliant balls inside into James Carr the last day. Yeah. And you're like, that's class, but I think we need him in there too.
We have a local wag here. Jerry Lohan. Do you remember him, lads? You do?
Yeah. Yes,
he got the famous goal.
How could we forget?
Jerry's a very droll character, and he used to make that point. He said, "I'd be some player if I had someone like myself out there kicking them into myself." But
if you kicked it high enough,
you could might get it after.
Kick and chase.
Kevin, can I bring it towards landing this podcast? There's a question I have. You've been an inter-county manager. You've been fortunate enough to sit in dressing room with great footballers in the situations that the Gaelic games can throw up, like a final that ultimately doesn't matter. Only Gaelic football. It's the only sport in the world that has something like Crow Park, National Final Day, and everyone's thinking about something else. So what do you say in that dressing room in that context? Like, what are you saying to those Mayo players as they go out there? You're hardly saying go out there and enjoy yourselves and don't worry about it.
Well, again, I'm going down a division. I can only bring you my experience. I was in a Division 2 final in this very situation where, lovely to win it, but, and you said you can hardly say go out and enjoy yourselves. That's exactly what we said. It was a lovely summer's day. We were playing Cavan. It was a Division 2 final, now I emphasise. It was a lower level. But that's exactly what we said, because all our eyes were trained absolutely on the championship ahead of ourselves. And we gave people a run out and we did all sorts of things. And thankfully, we fell over the line and won it. Now,
was that the game where there was 10 goals, Kevin?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. That gives you a sense of, quote, enjoy yourself. There wasn't much defending done anyway, put it that way. Now, what do Mayo say? What does James say on Sunday? This is a Division 1 final. This is the national title. So that's the first thing to say. It's well up from what I was just kind of, that was tongue-in-cheek to a certain degree. This is well up from it. You're being measured against the aristocrats of the game. That's the next thing. You certainly don't want to let yourself down in Crow Park down on Sunday. You wouldn't want to take a pummeling and think you could turn that around in 3 weeks. You know, if there was no positives to take out of Sunday, so that will be on his mind for sure. It's a beautiful medal. It's a beautiful title to win, the national league title. It's a great medal to, I would have thought, to have in here. They will be hugely motivated because it'll be a decent crowd at it again. There'll be good travelling support, and of course the Kerry guys will arrive curious. They just want to see. Have we momentum? Are we moving in the right direction? Have we solved the goalie? Have we solved the midfield? And we're playing Mayo. This would be a great test. I'd love to be on the podcast this day week when we have all the evidence now of, you know, these three or four seamless forwards that one could replace the other that we're talking about. How have they done now against, you know, a newly configured Kerry defence? How did it go for them? Did we get the long kick passes in to anybody else other than Ryan O'Donoghue? They'd be very easy questions for you to sift over now on Sunday night, Monday. So you'll have all those answers. How did our midfield do against their midfield? Did we dominate it? Because their midfield has a question mark on it, etc. How did we do on their kickouts, knowing that their goalkeeping situation is not locked down yet? These sort of things. I can't answer them really, Ed, because it's impossible to know what posture both teams are going to adopt for the final. Other than, I strongly sense that, I'm just emails, I hope they're not coming up on the screen. I strongly sense that Kerry are going to go flat out for it. So we better be ready for some class of a game. I don't think the searing disappointment of defeat will be there for us. I think we're on the edge of moving on to the Galway game if we haven't already done it. I think in their minds they will have moved, because every Mayo man knows the importance of it. I said on Sunday night, when the same question was asked on League Sunday, that for me, when I look at this, I see this as career defining for a lot of the Galway team. I really do. The Paul Conroys, the Shane Walshes, the Pádraig Joyces. This, you know, so, you know, beating Roscommon in a League Two final isn't top of their, it's nice to do it, but all within the context of getting ready for the Mayo match. And I think Mayo have to be thinking very similar. I mean, if you don't beat Galway, okay, the qualifier route isn't as bad as it used to be, but it's the whole positivity of the league season is walloped, you know, and you're back at the bottom of the mountain, aren't you? So I think Mayo's it'll be really intriguing to see how they approach this. It's an awful pity the media ban is on at the minute, because we could be asking these questions and finding out the mindset of the managers and so on. But anyway, we can't.
All right, to finish then, and it's a cliche, and you don't know the teams, and it's always the who's going to win. But I think overall, you know, what do you think Mayo can take out of this, Edwin? How important do you think this might be in the summer, and can you see a pathway to victory for Mayo?
I think the most important thing is that they don't get any more injuries, and that anyone that is in any way of a doubt is probably going to be rested up. And if anyone gets any sort of a nick during the game, that you know, that they don't try and run it off or play through the pain barrier. So I think that sets the context in terms of how important the game is. But I do think it's an opportunity, you know, to ask questions of Kerry if Mayo, and again, if Mayo want to go after it, to ask questions of Kerry and, you know, to halt Kerry's momentum a little bit and maybe plant a few seeds of doubt for a scenario where they might be playing later on in the summer. But I'm inclined to agree with Kevin. I think Kerry need this more. They have a longer run into championship, so they can go after it a lot more. And the level, the effort that it's going to take for Mayo, you know, even if they are trying to go after it, there will be at the back of their minds that 3 weeks Galway, 3 weeks Galway. So I think from that point of view, I'd be leaning towards Kerry, but what I'd be hoping to see from Mayo is a firmer indication of their starting 15. And I think the key thing is how well they can defend against Kerry. Can they improve on the last day? Can they keep a clean sheet? That's going to be very hard against Kerry, but I think it would go down as a good day's work at the back. And crucially in the forward line, can they be a bit more dynamic, a bit less one-dimensional, and can they figure their way around Kerry when Kerry are defensively set? So irrespective of the result, if we see progress in those aspects, I think it'll be a good day out.
Kevin, I have one kind of tiny question before I ask you who's going to win. And it's one that we just, it was on my notes. I said, right, I'll leave it to the end. How do you think Mayo will deal with David Clifford this week compared to how they did last time? Is it Oisín Mullen again?
Yeah, the David Clifford conundrum for any management team is to minimalize. You can't get it to zero. You can't rev up Oisín Mullen and say you got to keep him scoreless if we're going to win this match. That can't work. You have to frame the challenge where we pick the guy, probably Oisín Mullen, I'd say. Maybe Pádraig Gore, I don't know, but somebody of that quality, to man mark him. But you're looking for help out defence everywhere. That is the bigger challenge so that the help out recognises the danger and is doing something about it. They're actually moving towards the danger area to help out the one-on-one marker. So that is the David Clifford conundrum. But David Clifford's going to score 4 or 5 points right now. And beyond that, then you don't want them to get to eight and you don't want them to get to 1-8. That's kind of the challenge you have for them. The other areas that Ed mentioned are absolutely right. I'd throw in a few more if I have time. I'd say, what would we love out of next Sunday? I'd love to see Killeen O'Connor next Sunday. I'd love to see him trot around for 20 minutes. That would be really good. You mentioned injuries. You want to avoid them. I'll throw in another one because players can be as stupid when the sweat falls into their eyes. Suspensions. You saw what guys did last Sunday in round 7 in some of those tight finishes, and they put themselves really in the eyes now of some committee somewhere is going to have a look at them, and they could be missing first round matches. So we couldn't afford that. And the positions, absolutely nail them down as best you can. Avoid any sort of an embarrassment, I would have thought. And try and see, can you get the confidence levels up? Can you build on what has been a very, very decent league effort by Mayo? Can you get a little bit more confidence into the players? And can we see now how our forward line reacts in Croke Park against a Kerry team to win the league final, winning the league final? I'm moving on a little bit, but this is an important point. To win the league final takes more than league performance. I've mentioned that. It's a romantic idea. It'd be lovely to win it. Sure, of course it'd be lovely to win it. It'd be lovely to have 10 league medals if you could. But that's not the reality. The reality is that you have to play a little bit beyond where you might be at to win these finals. And Mayo may not just be in a position to play to that level, whereas I'm pretty sure Kerry are in a position to do that, because we have this big thing sitting over us in 3 weeks' time after the finals. So they're the things I'd like to see out of it. And of course, I'm really looking forward now to see who does match up Clifford. How does he get on? Where is that help defence? And then on the other hand, I'm really looking forward to these three or four forwards that are part of a system. Can they go beyond that now and show us a little bit of inventiveness, a bit of polish now in around the D, you know, taking the right options, kicking the ball with the correct foot, kicking it with a curl rather than a slice when that's what you're supposed to be doing, and not butchering chances that, you know, that you're supposed to put over. Score the ones you're supposed to score, and we can live with the ones that are just go wide, the 50-50s.
Brilliant stuff, Kevin. Well, listen, we will be talking more. The Here Comes the Weekend is on the way. Mike is working on another guest, probably from the Kingdom, I'd imagine. I'm not going to give you any more info than that, but trust me, it'll be good. Tune into patreon.com/Mayo Podcast for that. A big thanks to the Oxford Arms again for coming on board with us this year, and of course, Nigel Reid Printing as well for backing us on these podcasts. We are off to the clubhouse section of the podcast to talk a little bit more, not too much, but we have a little bit more for our Patreon listeners. You guys will be listening to us within a week. Kevin, thanks a million. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, lads.
Edwin, we'll chat to you soon too.
Bang on.